Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. There are many voices in the world, and most of them really are deceiving spirits. The Bible's clear on that. In fact, there's only one voice that we really need to listen to, and that's the voice of Jesus, as we hear by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we learn to discern the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we're able to minister to others and pray effectively for others. We're not able to discern, well, I should say we are able to discern between good and evil, but only when we're listening to the Holy Spirit. And you know, things are being presented to us are usually not biblically grounded in the Word of God, or when things are, you know, proclaiming the truth of God, the truth from the Word of God. Jesus is the truth. Amen. And we need to be able to tune in to his voice. One man who's taken this to the next level is Pastor Chad Wagner. Chad's a pastor of Excelsior Springs Church, was an independent Baptist church located in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. Chad is also the author of a great book titled The True Grace of God. This book uses scripture to expound upon the true grace of God while refuting the errors of both Arminianism and Calvinism. Praise God. And that is a big clash in a lot of churches today. To open this great discussion, help me welcome to the program, Pastor Chad Wagner. Pastor, thank you for taking the time to join us today, man. I do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Bob. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Amen. The first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Pastor Chad Wagner?
Yeah, sure. So I, like you said, I pastor the Excelsior Springs Church. I've been in the ministry for 11 years now. I pastored another church in Minneapolis prior to this. But who I am a Christian. I am a husband. I'm a pastor. I'm a seeker of truth. For the last about 20 years, I've been seeking the truth and through the Word of God, and that's brought me to where I am today.
Amen. Amen. You know, in preparing for our interview today, I noticed that you were in the Army and even trained at Fort Bliss, Texas. That was my old stomping grounds for a few years. What was your MOS? Yeah, what was your MOS?
63 Whiskey, which is a wheeled vehicle mechanic.
Okay, yeah. Mine was 16 Echo, and then I became commissioned, went to the cavalry. But I served 3 years as a drill sergeant at Fort Bliss, Texas as well.
Oh, really? Okay. So, yeah, wow.
Very familiar with that area. Biggs Field. That's where I used to live at. That's where housing area was.
But, okay. Yeah, nice. Yeah. I went to basic in Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Okay. Yeah. I served some time there too.
Did you? Okay. Wow.
Amen. Amen. I always take the time to honor those who served this nation in the military. So thank you for your service. You know, the military veterans, they hold a special place in my heart, mainly because of my 12 years that I was in service as well. But I just want to take a minute and honor your service while on this recording.
Oh, well, thank you.
Amen. Let's talk about your book, The True Grace of God. Why did you write this book and why publish it now?
Yeah, so there are a lot of books out there on Arminianism, on the idea of that salvation is up to our free will choice. And then there are a lot of books out there on Calvinism also, that salvation is up to God's choice. And there is some, I believe that Calvinism is closer to the truth, but there are some deviations from it where it goes from the scripture. And so when I started to write this book or thought about it, I didn't know of another book that really that taught the true grace of God, as I understand it anyway, and as our church and churches of like faith believe it. And if somebody were to ask me, you know, can you recommend me a book to so that I can understand the grace of God and salvation, there would be some that I could recommend, but it would always be like, well, but you got to chuck out this part or chuck out that part, or, you know, this isn't quite right or that's not quite right. And so what I wanted to have is a book that explained it as I understand it in a systematic way that would help people to understand how it is that God saves sinners. So that was the purpose of it. I thought about writing it about 10 years ago or so, shortly after I got into the ministry, and actually started, didn't get very far into it. And I'm glad that I didn't, because I was much more equipped, you know, in knowledge and everything to write it now. So that was the purpose of it. That's why I wrote it. And I started writing it a couple of years ago. And I thought that it was the time. I'd written a few other books on Proverbs. And so I just wanted to put this one out there and have something out there that represents our position.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And, you know, one thing I found on your website is the definition of salvation from Jesus's own words. You think he knows what he's talking about, right? Mm. Where he said in John 3:36, he that believes on the Son has eternal life, not gets eternal life, has it already.
Right.
Because yes. Faith comes by hearing the true word of God only comes from the word of God. And share with our audience how that revelation became true to you.
Yeah, so that was something that really, when I learned that faith is the evidence of salvation, not the cause of it, that really opened up my understanding. And this happened, you know, this is long, long time ago, years ago, when I first learned of this through my pastor. So up until that point, when I started learning about grace, there was always kind of a contradiction there, where it's grace is supposed to be all of God. It's an unmerited gift that nobody deserves and nobody can do anything to get. But yet we're told that you have to do something to get it. You know, there's a common, you may have heard it out there. Sometimes preachers say that there's nothing you can do to be saved. And then the next sentence is, all you have to do is believe this or pray this or whatever. So it's on one hand, everybody understands that it's the grace of God and he saves sinners by himself. But then on the other hand, well, but you have to do this, that, or the other thing in order to meet some condition. And so when I started to understand that really opened things up. And the reason for that really is that man in his natural state, the Bible says he's dead in trespasses and sins. And you're probably like me, Pastor Bob, you don't go and preach in graveyards, right? Because
right.
People there are dead and they physically can't hear anything you're saying.
Right.
Well, man is dead spiritually speaking too. So when it comes to the spiritual message of the gospel, before he's been made alive or resurrected or quickened or regenerated by God, he can't hear it. So that's why when you share the gospel with certain people, it's just like, it's just nonsense to them. It makes no sense, that it has no effect on them whatsoever. But then other people you share the gospel with, and there's something within them that it resonates, it clicks. And they may have never heard it before, but it just something in that message speaks to them. And the reason is because there's been a change that wrought in their heart by God before they ever heard that message, that resurrection, that spiritual resurrection, regeneration, where God changed them and gave them the ability to understand that. So that to me, when I got that, that made so much sense, because it matches up with what we see in the world, and it matches up with physical reality too, that life always precedes activity. Life Amen. Precedes hearing, life precedes seeing. So God has to give that life first, and then a person can understand and believe. And when he believes, that's not what saves him. That's not what gives him eternal life, but that's what gives the evidence that God had already given him eternal life and gave him that ability to believe. So that's the probably the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway is that faith is the evidence of salvation. It's not the cause of it, as well as good works are evidence of salvation, but not the cause of it.
Yeah. Hebrews 11:1. Amen.
Yep, right. Yeah. Faith absolutely. Is the evidence of things not seen. Yep.
I mean, it's right there.
Yeah. So, amen.
Praise God. So how did the Lord grow your faith as you study scriptures and preparing the manuscript for the book?
I learned along the way, I learned some things as I delved into it. And really, I wanted to give as much information as I could, give as many biblical examples as I could, expound as many verses as I could, to really just leave no stone uncovered. So I learned a lot as I was doing that. A lot of the things I had learned already, you know, through study, through a lot, I've listened to lots of sermons over the years when I was being converted and after that. But I did definitely I was my knowledge was certainly expanded as I delved into this, and it was a fruitful study for myself, as and hopefully it is for others also. But if nothing else, I definitely grew spiritually, putting this together.
I found that as well. When I was writing my books, that the more I was preparing the book, the deeper I was going, and then the bigger the book became. Because you want to share it all, and then you're like, no, I can't write an encyclopedia here. I got to keep, focused on, so many pages. But yeah, because you want to share everything. You want to get it out there, and not to show off how much you know, but to try and make everybody understand that salvation is the central theme of everything. I mean, without salvation, we're already in the graveyard. Look at the cities. Look around you. Everything is dying. Everything is dying, and there's only one aspect that's alive, and that is true salvation in Christ. Period. End of story. Close the book. You're done. I mean, without it, what do you have to look forward to?
Yeah, I mean there
Nothing.
is, and we and that explains we live in a world that has no hope, where suicide rates are increasing and drug abuse and those things. It's because people have no hope, and I guess I can't blame people for the way that they live their lives, given the fact that they don't believe that there's a God or there is no hope. But the hope in Christ gives us hope. It also provides us with a worldview. We can make sense of the world when you understand the doctrine of the fall of man. Then all of a sudden you'd say, well, why is there all this evil in the world? Well, it's because Adam ate the forbidden fruit. Adam disobeyed God and plunged the whole human race into sin and death. And that's why things are so messed up, right? And so it's just there's so many things that if you understand the doctrine of salvation, it just makes the world make sense. It gives us a hope. It gives us purpose in our lives. So I
Yeah.
think that this is the message that people need. They need to hear
Amen.
the doctrine of the grace of God. And also it gives us rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
For those out there that maybe haven't heard of the doctrine of the grace of God and are trapped in some system where they feel like that salvation is up to them and their good works have to outweigh their bad works or something, or they feel like
Yeah.
the weight of the world is on their shoulders. And if I didn't say something to this man, maybe he's going to end up going to hell because I didn't get a chance to talk to him or something. And so it relieves a burden when you realize that God does it. And it's not all up to us. It's not up to us to save ourselves. It's not up to us to save others. Of course, we should all evangelize and give answers when we have opportunity and things like that. But when you take the weight of the world off your shoulders, it
Yeah.
certainly is a rest in Christ.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Share with us the how you laid out the book, The Grace of God. From what I took away, you make certain topics, or you take certain topics and then discuss them from what the Bible has to say, plain in scripture, and then compare the Arminian and then the Calvinistic positions on the same scripture. Is that right?
So I started out with a chapter on grace itself and what grace is, and then I went into some of the kind of got into the weeds a bit into some of the more theological things like the supralapsarian position and absolute predestination and those kind of things and God's foreknowledge and those. And then once I laid that foundation, then I got into what would be called the 5 points of the tulip: total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of the saints. Calvinism says perseverance, but I believe the Bible teaches preservation.
Amen.
So I went through those 5 points and showed the scripture, the biblical position, and then where Arminianism was wrong on it and where Calvinism was wrong on it. In the th first 3 points, I think Calvinism is correct. When you get to irresistible grace, Calvinism basically has the gospel being irresistible. So when they believe that God regenerates and gives a person, they have the ability, but then when the gospel comes along, they will irresistibly believe it. It's just like it's something just overwhelms them and they can't not believe it. And I don't believe that scripture teaches that. And I gave, you know, several examples in the scripture of that, that we have the ability to believe, but we're not forced or made to believe. And the believing isn't what saves us. It's God saves us, and the belief is the evidence. And then looked at the final point of preservation versus perseverance, whereas Calvinism teaches that a person has to persevere in faith to the end. And if they don't, then they never were one of the elect in the first place.
Right.
And I showed a lot of examples, actually, and people would disagree with this, but I mean, there are many biblical examples where people didn't persevere to the end, and yet they were God's children. You know, King Solomon, the evidence in scripture is he went after other gods when he was old, late in his life. And the last thing he tried to do was kill Jeroboam. And yet we're told that he's one of the prophets. We're told that God loved him, that he was God's child. And so I totally believe that King Solomon's a child of God, even though at the end of his life, he really messed up.
Yeah.
And there are other examples, you know, in scripture as well. So that was the format of it. And then I went through a couple of other, what I believe are key areas, the purpose of the gospel, showing that it is to locate and educate the regenerate. It's not what gives us eternal life, but it's what shows that we have it and what tells us about it. Essentially, the gospel is the good news, right?
Yeah.
It's the good news of what Jesus did. So the good news of an event doesn't cause the event. The good news of the event is just telling you about the event. Jesus died for the sins of those the Father gave him to save, and he saved them, right?
Yeah.
And so I talked about that. I talked about the temporal salvation versus eternal salvation, which I think is a really key point. This, for me, really unraveled a lot of contradictions. Whereas in some places you have the Bible saying that salvation is by grace alone, you know, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5. But then you have other verses which says, you know, things like, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you have some verses that say that God does it all, and then you have other verses that say you got to do this to be saved. Well, when I, through, this is years ago, through, you know, my pastor's sermons, when I was learning this, when I learned that the Bible speaks of two different types of salvations, an eternal salvation, which God alone does, and then a temporal salvation, meaning like in time, in this life, temporal salvation, where we're saved from ignorance or deception, believing lies, or being just chastened by God for sin in our life, or we're saved from things like that. We're saved to a knowledge of the truth and those things. So I discussed that and showed that this really unravels a lot of the scriptures, where some of them say salvation is conditional, some of them say it's not. There's no contradiction. Temporal salvation is conditional. Eternal salvation is not conditional. What gets you to heaven is what Jesus did. What gets you into fellowship with Jesus is believing the truth and obeying him and keeping his commandments, right? So there's a difference there between sonship and fellowship. And then I gave a bunch of examples of unconverted elect, people that either were children of God saved by grace, but hadn't yet heard the gospel, or maybe they had heard it and rejected it for some reason or something. And so I talked about that. And so that was kind of the layout of the book.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's an excellent read. Now, what's the number one thing you want your readers to understand after reading your book, The True Grace of God?
I think probably a couple of things. Number one, and this was kind of a recurring theme through the book, the prophet Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. So I think that's the number one takeaway, that salvation is what God does. God affects salvation. God is the one that does the saving, and all the glory goes to God. None of the glory goes to us. We don't take any credit for it in any way. It's all of the Lord. The second takeaway is, as I've already mentioned, that faith is the evidence of salvation, not the cause of it. And I think if that can be understood, then that really opens up the understanding to really understand the sovereign grace of God. So those would be the two main takeaways, I think, from the book.
Yeah, amen. And you know, I go back to, you know, Jesus did it all. Not Solomon, not David, not Abraham. Jesus did it all.
That's right.
And then when you believe that, that's faith that Jesus did it all, which means you can't do nothing to add to or take away. All you got to do is believe. And Jesus said, he who believes has already. I mean,
Amen.
yeah. It's so simple. They got to have help to misunderstand it. You know, I mean,
Right.
it's crazy. This book is one that needs to be on the bookshelves of desks of pastors around the country. You know, they may have their toes stepped on when they read the truth contained in your book, but I always use my sermons. You know, if you don't want your toes stepped on, don't put them out from underneath the desk. Amen. But Pastor, how can someone obtain a copy of your book, The True Grace of God? Is it on Amazon?
It is on Amazon, and there's a link to it on my site, pastorwagner.com, right at the top of the page. It's still fairly new, so it's right at the top of the page there. And there's also a link where you can go. It's truegracebook.com, and that will redirect to a page on my website. But probably the easiest way is just pastorwagner.com, and then there's a link right there. It'll take you right to the Amazon page. Because on Amazon, I think there's at least one other book called The True Grace of God. And I didn't even bother to check before I came up with the title. And then afterwards, I thought, oh, there are some other ones, but I guess that's the same with a lot of books. There's, books with the same title. But anyway, the link there on the website will take you to my book.
Amen. Amen. And if someone has a question or they'd like to reach out to you, maybe do an interview like this, how can they contact you? How can someone get in touch with you?
Yeah, on pastorwagner.com, there's a contact page. And my phone number's there, and there's also a contact form that they can fill out, and
Amen.
I'll get back to them.
Amen. I'll put links to all that in the show notes below. Folks, Pastor Chad Wagner has written the truth of the Word of God plainly in his great book, The True Grace of God. You need to get this book for your own personal study time. I mean, I can't recommend it enough. I don't care what denomination you're in. I don't care what you call yourself. If you say you're a Christian, that means you are commanded to study the scriptures for yourself. Period. Right? Jesus said so in his own words, John 5:39. He says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me." The scriptures you have to read to understand. Amen. Praise God. Another one, 2 Timothy 2:15, says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Praise God. You can only do that if you have the resources available to you. Amen. Drop down the show notes right now. Click the links right there. Reach out to Pastor Chad Wagner and be sure to order his great book, The True Grace of God, or go to truegracebook.com. Amen. Pastor, I want to thank you again for taking the time to come on the program today, share the word of God, and tell us about this great book that you published, The True Grace of God. I do appreciate your time today.
Well, thanks so much, Pastor Bob. I really appreciate you having me on. I've enjoyed it.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Pastor Chad Wagner and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.